www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So cannibal
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Let's go. It's not a Pete Spillo, and you're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on parockshow.com, megarockradio.net, buildthescene.com, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. I didn't tell you guys that one. Oh, see the reaction.
Wow. That's awesome.
Little station in St. Louis. So keep the F words out of it. Then I don't have to edit it. So I am sitting in... is this still considered Hyde Park here, or is this Allegheny Township?
This is Hawk... Yeah, Hawk Valley.
Hawk Valley.
Yes.
A couple miles from AK Music Scene Studio. We're doing a... what was that commercial? Memorex. We're doing Memorex. Is it Memorex or is it live? And with me are the guys from Dragline. I'm going to wave to them and see if they'll react to me. They're waving.
Hi, Bill.
You can talk.
Hey, Bill.
Thanks for having us on.
Well, thanks for letting me come out. This is... I was like, hey, I could come to you guys. You guys are close.
Yeah, it's super convenient, yeah. So we're going to say yes.
Yeah, it's better that you come to us because we would never probably make it to you. One, we'd be too drunk.
You're going to go much closer. You're not coming through.
We would be way too drunk if we had to come to you, Bill.
Well, as I was telling you off the air, that happened a lot at the house. So you guys kind of disappeared for a while. And then I saw a Facebook post, and I was like, wait, you're playing again? And it morphed into tonight. So I have to ask, where'd you go?
Our last show was about almost 5 years ago at the Heartbreakers Ball, which we just recently played a couple weeks ago at the Big Red Barn in Sarver. We kind of left because we weren't getting anywhere. I mean... We were playing shows, and all of a sudden, we weren't getting any shows anymore, and we just kind of left the scene, took a little hiatus, as we call it, decided over this past summer, you know, getting back with J-Boy and Mikey, that we got to do this, we got to bring it back, even though we're old, like really old.
I think we all missed it.
Yeah, exactly.
We did miss it. It was over that 4.5 year break that we were still in contact with each other and paying attention to the scene and obviously paying attention to music and thinking, why aren't we doing this?
Right, exactly. So
it basically took us 4.5 years to start doing it again.
Yeah, and I... Personally, we've all agreed that personally we're better now than we were 4.5, 5 years ago. I mean, I don't know if it's old age. I just think that the three of us have decided that if we're gonna do anything, we got to do it ourselves. We can't rely on other people, and I think we relied on other people 4 years ago to get us the gigs or you know do this and that. And now it's on our shoulders. So we decided we're gonna do this, and it's gotten better. I mean, we've made contacts. You know, we got shows in Pittsburgh, which 4 years ago we didn't have any shows in the city, and now we're getting shows in the city. We've hooked up with some really cool bands, so I think that is the big thing with Dragline now is we've decided if we're going to do this, we have to take ownership of the band. We can't let anybody else give us a gig, tell us what we're going to do or whatever. We take ownership. Wouldn't you agree, Michael?
I would, and we've kind of spread our wings a little bit, and, you know, not only are we playing in Pittsburgh for the first time and getting a lot of shows down there, meeting a lot of cool bands that have been very supportive with us, we've been playing Altoona a few times and met a lot of great bands up there that have just been very supportive, very helpful of us, and we're going to try to reciprocate and have them down here for some shows, and even this weekend we're playing 3 hours away in West Virginia, so we're looking forward to it.
The Rim. We're playing The Rim with the Cheats, punk rock legends from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I looked that one up, and I was going to try and say send Jonna to that to take pictures, and she lives almost in West Virginia, and it's 3 hours from her, too. I'm like, how is that possible?
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, Jonna runs First Angel Media. She's a photographer and a writer. She does CD reviews, and she's actually going to be writing an article. It may be up now, about the town hall meeting they did about the Pittsburgh music scene last night.
I saw the article today.
So did I. I saw the
First Angel one or the Scott Mervis one on the PG?
The PG one.
Yeah.
That one didn't make it sound too great.
But there's a guy, Dakota. I forget.
Yes.
Yeah. Dakota is like, he's like really like pushing everything. I mean, the stuff that he was saying was like really cool. So he seems to be like wanting to get the scene bigger than what it is. And Pittsburgh needs that.
Yep. He's actually one of the, I think I was telling Mike about featuring you guys on multiple websites. His site is one of them.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm going to plug the radio station again. It's new. buildthescene.com/radio. We're playing unsigned musicians 24/7. And you can find it there. You can find it at parockshow.com. You can find it at firstangelmedia.com, aproradio.com, and palocalbands.com. That is going to have a new domain soon, but I don't think he's mentioned what it is yet, so I'm not putting that out. So you know, you can't. There's no excuse if you're looking for local music. You can find it 24/7 on any of those sites. I believe I'm getting some tracks from you guys tonight to throw up.
Yes, you'll get
on the radio station and on the podcast.
Yes, you'll get the latest one we recorded at Morelli Studios, Rock and Roll Machine, and an oldie but a goodie from about 4.5 years ago, Sinin, which we actually did at Morelli Studios.
Is that Angelo from the Thieves?
It is Angelo, the one and only Angelo.
Is he still calling it Smash and Grab Records? Because I know that was that's posted on some of his videos. Yeah. You know, that's the closing on some of his videos he's done. It's Smash and Grab Records. So
I can link to anyone. Jeffrey DeFalco from the Thieves is teaching my son how to play guitar. So and. I tell you stories about almost anyone.
That's a great teacher to have.
Oh, yeah, he can play. We walked out of the first half-hour lesson, my son was already playing 9 chords. And, music's kind of his thing, though. He's playing the trumpet. He's 9. It's the second year of playing the trumpet. 2 weeks into playing, and I came home from work, and he's like, Dad, check this out. And he played the Imperial March. And I was like, where'd you learn that at? He's like, I looked it up on YouTube.
It's funny. My daughter's done the same thing with the keyboard. I would say back when she was 4 or 5, I walked in and she was playing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. I'm thinking, how did you learn that? And she said, saw it on YouTube. So over the years, she just kept getting better and better. And she has a big old Yamaha full-size keyboard now. And she's doing Elton John songs.
Awesome.
Left that keyboard to a Dragline song here.
I steal most of my licks off of YouTube.
I was telling that story this weekend at Doppler Effect show, and Brian Dehas, their guitarist, he's like, is he any good? I'm like, well, I'm like, he's 9. But, you know, every once in a while he'll float a note. I said, but there's none of that squealing and high-pitched stuff that you usually hear with trumpets. And he's like, well, I'm going to be recording some stuff for my mom. He's like, do you think he'll play on it? I was like, sure. And I went home. I'm like, hey, Aiden. So my 9-year-old might get recorded. He was pretty excited.
That's awesome.
Hopefully one day it'll be the guitar too. But just to follow up on that story, here we go. It's all over the place. But at the beginning of 4th grade, which is what he's in now, they have to decide if they're going to do general music or chorus, where he goes, and he loves to sing, and he picked general music. I'm like, what is he doing? In 5th grade, general music learns how to play the harmonica, and he wants to know how to play as many instruments as he can. So that's why he made his choice, harmonica.
Great idea, yeah.
And he sat down at a piano one day. You were mentioning keyboards, and my wife's cousin showed him where the notes were, and he started sight reading and playing a song. Never played a piano before.
It's kind of like me on the drums.
Kind of like all three of us. We don't know shit.
There's no music readers here.
No. None of us can read a note. There's no theory, nothing. It's just bare bones rock and roll. I mean, every time we've done a show, everybody always says, you guys are just rock and roll, and that's it. But we are. We're just rock and roll. I mean, you know, my biggest influence is Motorhead, and Motorhead is just rock and roll. You know, we have the Ramones. We have, you know, Mikey digs like the 80s stuff. I mean, it all comes together. Put it in a mixer, and it comes out Dragline. You know,
that's a good way to put it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Taking notes.
Yeah. Okay. So, how do I have to play again? Ramones. Okay, I can do that. I can cover that.
So, how you told a story off the air how you guys got together? We're gonna try.
Oh, way back to the Plowboy days.
Yeah.
It goes back. Way back,
2001-ish.
Yeah, 2001-ish. Yeah. Our drummer in the Plowboys, Sean, had a boat, and every Sunday we would take his boat out to Freeport, drop it in at Freeport in the Allegheny, go on out to the Kiski, drop anchor, and just hang out in the Kiski and drink beer and listen to music. And most of the stuff we listened to was 9 Pound Hammer. And actually, you know, Jay and Sean, those are the guys that turned me on a 9 Pound Hammer. And we would listen to it and listen to it. And I was like, man, this is great. I mean, we can do this. We can do this. We can be a band. And it's one day out of a drunken stupor out on the boat, I said, you know what? I'm going to play guitar. Jay, you're going to play the bass. Sean, you're going to play the drums. And our buddy Scotty was going to be the lead singer. And that's how the Midnight Plowboys started. And we would rehearse at top of Sean's shop in Vandegrift. He had a sign shop, and we would be up there in like kind of an attic area, and we would rehearse. And then pretty soon, it started to work out, and then we moved the rehearsals to Jay's house in Hyde Park. And, you know, the Plowboys started taking off. We were, you know, playing a lot in the 31st Street Pub, Excuses, and played a lot of good shows in Pittsburgh. With a really great band, the Hucklebucks, Legendary Hucklebucks. You know, those guys kind of took us under their wing, and we played a lot of shows with those guys. And then after that, you know, the Plowboys started to fade a little bit, and then Jay and I decided, you know what, we're going to form our own little kind of like punk rock thing with a buddy of ours. Jay moved to drums, and our one buddy played bass, and I was moved to not just playing guitar, but singing. And that morphed into Dragline. And then Dragline kind of started getting pretty good shows. We opened for the Texas Hippie Coalition twice. And our old bass player just couldn't cut it because his old lady wouldn't let him do shows or whatever. So one night we decided, you know what? We're going to give a call to Mr. Mike Rao. And lo and behold, we got the professor on bass. And here it is. After a four-year hiatus, Dragline is back.
I think we stole Mike from Dimwit.
We did. We stole Mike from Dimwit. Yeah, we told him, you know what? You're not going to play any more covers.
We opened for Dimwit at the Hillview Tavern. Is it still called the Hillview?
Yeah.
So yeah. It was one of Dimwit's first shows.
Yeah, they paid us with a 30-pack.
Is that the one going into West Katanning on the hill?
No,
it's Oklahoma Borough. Oklahoma.
Okay.
Cheek's Place. Mm-hmm. Used to be called Cheek's Place.
Yeah, so I can even
link to that. Their son was Chris Policicchio. I played baseball with him. Yep. See, I told you.
Yeah.
You know everyone.
I do.
Yeah.
But I had known Jimmy for years, and when Dragline opened up for Dimwit, I still remember, you know, they came on stage. Nobody knew who they were. I had seen them. I was a fan of the Plowboys, actually, but I hadn't seen them as Dragline yet. And they came out, and it was all quiet, and Jimmy said, I apologize for what you're about to hear. And they just kicked into some of the best rock and roll, and it was like, wow, I was blown away. So it's like one of those things, you know, people talk about where they were when Kennedy was shot. and people talk about where they were when the space shuttle blew up. I know exactly where I was sitting and what I was watching on television when I got a text from Jimmy saying, hey, man, you want to try out for Dragline? And I was like, yeah. I couldn't respond fast.
I don't think there was even a tryout. I was like, hey, Mike, do you want to be in Dragline?
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, and Mike, like, yeah. And a couple days later, he came over to my house, and I'm like, all right, dude, it's real easy. I'm just going to show you the chords, do it. And Mike is such a quick study on bass, and anytime I have a song, I come in, I show it to Mike. Mike picks it up, like, you know, so quick. That's one of the great things about having him in the band. He picks up things really quick. You know, J-Boy is Mr. Steady Eddie on the kit. I mean, he's like AC/DC and the drummer from Saxon on Motorcycle Man. And Jay is like Dr. Thunder. He just beats the hell out of those drums. But,
there's no style or
No.
It's just hit them hard.
Hit them hard, man. Just, you know, make it count. And the thing is, I couldn't be with two better guys. I mean, they're my friends, my best friends, and we have a blast. The downside is, man, do we drink a lot of beer.
Tell me about one of the two songs we're going to play, and then we'll take a short break and then play some music.
I guess Rock and Roll Machine? Yeah. Rock and Roll Machine, I came up with a riff for it. At my house, and I didn't have any kind of recording thing, so I put my cell phone down on a pillow and videotaped myself playing it, and I sent it out to these guys and said, what do you guys think? And they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Brought it back to Mike's house, and we just started jamming on it. The lyrics came pretty easy, and then we thought, you know what? We got to record this. So we went to Angelo, and Angelo worked his magic, and lo and behold, there's Rock and Roll Machine.
Cool. Hey, so we're going to hear Rock and Roll Machine. We're going to throw in, this is where I screw this up every week. I need to script this. Throw in some other music. We'll figure that out later. And we'll be back with Dragline shortly.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dragline. You mean tattooed and restless, every woman's dream. Thunder and lightning gonna make you scream. I'm a rock and roll machine. I'm a rock and roll machine. We'll be right back.
free. Demon Messiah, the devil's hand. Bring on the darkness, I'll steal your light. Wolf howling at your door almost every night. I'm a rock and roll machine. I'm a rock and roll machine. Righteous, Lord of the thieves, you are my servants, do as I please. I give you pleasure, it's what you need. Bring on the evil, I'm the devil's seed. I'm a rock and roll machine. I'm a rock and roll machine.
It's Bill. We're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show with Dragline. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
You guys took the cue that time. It was nice.
We're learning.
No waving that time. There's a wave. So while we're off the air, I told him, okay, this time I'm asking you questions. Yeah, we'll see how that works.
Fire away, Billy.
Okay. So I'm looking around the room. I see Kiss. I see Billy Squire. And then it gets dark and I can't tell what else is over there.
It's the Cult.
Cult.
Ozzy Osbourne, REO Speedwagon.
Yeah. Just focus more on Kiss.
Yeah.
There's some Donny Iris down there on the end.
Yeah, Donny Iris, but mainly Kiss.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Over cover, I think. Is that what, or is it?
Yeah,
that's Rock and Roll Over.
Yeah.
And the first Kiss album, the self-titled. And I see Dress to Kill. Am I impressing you yet?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
To put it in perspective, the Destroyer album, which is the Tapestry there, I was born that year.
that was my first Kiss album.
Mine too, but a little later.
Yeah. It was 1977 when it came out. I was 17.
Yeah, well, I screwed it up a little bit. I was born in 76, right at the end, November. Yeah. So,
I used to steal that from my brother's room and take it in, put it on my little plastic record player, and jam to it. So,
in my opinion, that is the best Kiss album, it's Destroyer. It's just, for me, I see you're like, well,
yeah,
you're probably, are you thinking a lot?
I go back and forth.
The first album I got was from a girlfriend I had in 10th grade. She bought me for Christmas Kiss Alive, and she gave it to me at school when I went to study hall and opened it up, and there was the booklet and all that stuff. I was like, holy shit, what is this? This is like the coolest thing ever. Took it home and played it on my parents' big
console
stereo that was like, you know, like 10 yards long, and just listened to it all the time. I mean, to me, granted, it was like not quote unquote a very live album, but man, it was that was the stuff that really turned me on to rock and roll. Was that? I mean, before that, I mean, when I was in fifth grade, I bought from Park Music Led Zeppelin 3 album. I listened to that all the time, but my parents always had music playing. Like my dad would listen to Frank Sinatra and stuff like that, or the Kingston Trio. So there was always music in our house.
You could see we're all coming from very different places.
Exactly. Right. Right. You know, my old man was like, you know, Frank Sinatra, Kingston Trio, Dean Martin, that kind of stuff.
I grew up with Waylon Jennings and David Allan Coe.
Exactly.
Yeah. My parents listened to, my dad loved the Big Bopper and, Perry Como, Andy Williams, all that kind of stuff. But my brother, who was older than me, he was into the stuff that kind of got me heading down the road of hard rock. He got me into Kiss. As soon as I started liking Kiss, he didn't like them anymore. he was into Black Sabbath. I remember hearing that all the time coming from his room, and it was just like, you know, as a young, impressionable kid, that's just what I latched on to.
Yeah.
My parents listened to country. And some of it was pretty old, like the Tim Horton and, you know, the War of 1812.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
I mean, obviously, it affected me. I still remember.
Right. I just remember going to my grandma's house and watching the Johnny Cash show.
See, that's where I got pissed. I went to my grandma's house, which sounds odd.
That is odd.
But I have an uncle who's 5 years older than me and one that's 9 years older than me. So as I was growing up, I grew up with them. And they were Kiss fans.
that's a cool. You know, my uncle took my brother and I to our first Kiss show in '76. Man, he drove us down, dropped us off at the Civic Arena. Go at it, boys! We're on the floor, standing on our chairs to Kiss. Man, it was awesome.
My uncle, the one who's 9 years older than me, we went to a Kiss concert together, and some guy wanted to fight me. My uncle's like 5'6", and this guy was getting drunker and drunker as the night came on, and he kept coming down. He had a little kid with him, and he kept saying, "My son can't see past you." And I moved like 10 times, and he came down, and he was very drunk at that point, and he had his shirt off, and he spelled
that
like,
may have been me.
Or I was just going to say, was that was
Mike.
Jimmy?
That was Mike. That was Mike. That was Mike. Been,
well, Jimmy, you're still a little too small, too. He was more like Bob Morlocki and Steve Craven size. And my uncle comes running over, and he puts his arm, like, he was in the Army, you know, so, you know, he had been trained in combat, and he comes over and he grabs the guy's arm, and he looks down at his hand, and he looks at me, and he goes, "We'll move." And I went, "No, we won't." And my college roommate was with me. He was standing beside me, and he turned because he heard me yell, and the guy thought he was coming at him and pushed him. And well, he went flying maybe 10 feet and landed on somebody. And then this guy started running around and randomly punching people. And that was my first Kiss concert with my uncle. See, I kind of asked about your influences.
Yeah.
Kind of. I have a feeling that I'm going to get similar answers. But if I was to look at your CD collections or MP3 or whatever it is you guys have... What kind of albums and bands would I see?
Wow. Kiss, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Glenn Campbell, Ramones, Social Distortion, Zeke. I mean, it...
Your last few kind of blend right into me.
Right, right. Yeah, Jay's our punk rock boy.
More Ramones, Misfits, Social Distortion. Yeah. Like, get into some real heavy punk, Minor Threat. That's more my background. Being a kid of the 80s, I had the hair metal from my older brother, and I loved it, and I still like it. But when I was going through junior high and stuff, it was a lot of the punk rock and skateboarding is what I got.
Did you go to the Doyle show last week?
No, but
there's a good article about it on First Angel Media.
Check it out.
And some photos. See that plug? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, for me, the first big influence when I was real little, because I've loved music ever since I was a wee little kid. But the first influence was Elton John, and my first album I ever bought was Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only a Piano Player. And from Elton John went to Kiss, from Kiss it went to Black Sabbath, and you know, mainly all the 80s. If it was popular 80s hair metal and heavy metal, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, loved all that stuff. But I also love REO Speedwagon and, you know, that kind of stuff. Foreigner.
Barry Manilow.
Oh, I forgot to mention.
I do love Barry Manilow. I do.
Yeah,
I do. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
I hate to say this, but he also likes Pink.
Her new album is fantastic. It really is.
I forgot to mention Motorhead. I mentioned it earlier, but Motorhead is like the best. I've seen Motorhead 3 or 4 times. You can't beat Lemmy. I mean, God rest his soul. But he was a big influence on this band as far as me writing stuff and just the way I sing. It's definitely Motorhead.
You can see we got like 3 different decades covered in our background here.
Yeah.
And it comes through.
I was gonna say if you listen close enough, you hear a country influence. You definitely hear the punk, you know, and you hear the metal coming through of hard rock, like
some metal
stuff
in there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, our songs. I mean, if you go through our set list or you listen to songs, the first song does not sound like the third song. The third song does not sound like the last song. Everything sounds different, and it's because of the influences that the three of us have. You know, we're not all if Jay, myself, and Mike are all like Black Sabbath, big Black Sabbath fans, then definitely it would be a Sabbath kind of feel.
It sounded similar to Homicide Black.
Yeah. Right, which, exactly.
We played with those cats too.
Yeah. And they were good, man. They were really good. But, you know, the Sabbath influence comes more from me, and we have a song that's kind of have a Sabbath feel, but then you go to look at a song like Four More Beers, which is straight ahead punk rock, man. And Rock and Roll Machine is just straight ahead rock and roll with a little bit of a Motorhead feel to it. But other than that, you know, that's why I think this band works so well, because of the three diverse influences that we have as far as the music that we like. You know, the country stuff comes through in Whiskey and the Devil. We do a revved up version of David Allan Coe's Tennessee Whiskey, which is kind of like punk country, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
You know, the way we do it.
So I promised myself the other day, I was watching wrestling shoot videos. I don't know if you've ever done that. Don't do it. John Ling pointed me in that direction. Basically, like the wrestlers talk out of character and tell you about, you know, what was going on at whatever time they're talking about.
Right.
Well, it turns into this hole, and like 8 hours later, you're still watching YouTube. So don't do it. But there was a guy who asked this amazing question on when I watched the other day, and I was like, I need to turn that into a question for my show. So here it comes. If your music collection got destroyed and only one, like your music, the stuff you guys have written, and only one of your songs survived, and that's what everyone would know about you, which song would it be and why? Sam Mike's going,
That's a great question. Holy shit. Which one of our songs? And I don't think of our set list now. Think about all the stuff we've done. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking as well, because it's heavy, it's punky. It's catchy.
It's got some country to it, a little bit of a southern feel to it. I mean, Gonna Lose. Wow, Shotgun. One of the first songs that we did, you know, prior to getting Mike, you know, was Shotgun, or even Whiskey and the Devil, which when we did that with Pete.
We were supposed to pick one. Now we got 3.
I'm sorry. I'll go with Shotgun. I'll go with Shotgun.
You could do 3. You could each choose.
Yeah. All right. So okay. I said you're gonna lose.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Shotgun.
You're claiming gonna lose.
I'm saying Shotgun.
I'm gonna go Death Machine.
Ooh! Wow! Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was written before my time, but it was one of the first ones I learned. And when I think of Dragline, that's one of the top ones I think of.
Maybe we should start playing that again.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
one of your top songs.
Right, exactly.
Why aren't we playing?
Yeah, right. Right. We need to bring that back for Mike. Death Machine.
Top song. We don't even play it.
I know. Yeah, we take it out
Did
of the set.
Did you ever play it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We actually recorded it with Bill Rauncher, but never really mixed it and finished it up real well.
No, no. And it's a good song. I mean, yeah, great song. Yeah.
That went over well. I'm gonna have to hold on to that question.
That is a good. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, it was,
I thought really you were going to ask us what album out of our CD collection,
yeah.
And then we get right back into that.
I knew what I was going to say.
Right? Big argument.
I was going to say Ace of Spades, Motorhead.
Yeah, and then we get right back into what's your favorite album ever, and it's like, do you pick one? Is there really one?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. I had another question. I know what it was. So you were talking about your influences and how it blends into your music and the sound. So if there was going to be a fourth member, see, this one's going to be tough too. If there's going to be a fourth member of Dragline, do you have someone in mind, and what kind of influences would they have to have?
I've already thought of this. They would have to be born like with a 90s influence. No, I'm joking. I thought that crossed my mind earlier when I said we're from three, like we got three decades covered here. Yeah. So the next logical step would be either we go 60s and add a Hammond
or Hammond B3,
or we go 90s and put a synthesizer in. No, I don't know.
Personally speaking, if we could find a singer that could sing similar to like way I do, I'd love somebody to be the front man and I just want to play guitar. Back in like that did in the Plowboys, you know, it's a challenge singing and playing at the same time.
So, is this a singer wanted ad?
Yes, kids, if you're out there and you want to sing for Dragline, contact us via Facebook.
So, and this is kind of just continuing here. So, what if you were going to manage a super band from this area? So, you can't play in the band, but you need to form the band.
Oh, man.
Who would you use for each instrument, and what kind of genre would you have them play? They're like, damn it, Bill, just let us talk. Like, we're
the pressure's on. So, I
hate all these thinking questions.
Got guitar, bass, and drums right here. Got those three covered.
But you can't be in the band. You can only manage.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Boy. Let's see. Of all the bands we've played with.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, does it have to be local? I mean, what about some of the bands we play with in Altoona? We play some really good bands.
Just, you know, I'm what? Unsigned.
That guy for the... I forget his first name, Jason or Jared, the guy that plays lead guitar for Embers Fall.
Chario.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah, he's good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's just like the speed picking and all that. I mean, sweep picking is just, he's off the hook. Yeah, he's really good. I would say lead singer-wise, I'd go for Abe from Filthy Lowdown. Because he's a showman.
Great front man, yeah.
Yeah, he's a showman.
Great voice, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd go Abe from Filthy Lowdown. Pittsburgh boy. Drummer, come on, JJ. What do you got for a drummer?
I don't know.
I thought the cat from Red Sun was a good drummer. He reminded me a little bit of you. A little bit. I thought he was a pretty good drummer.
I don't know.
I have some Red Sun tracks, so I'll play that tonight.
And also,
I love Red Sun.
And the bass player from Red Sun is really good. Yeah, he's really good. He's a good bass player.
I think we've been out of the local scene.
We're drawing on bands that we've been playing with, you know, recently.
It's almost like it's all new to us again.
Yeah. Virgin's the new scene.
Yeah.
To the local scene.
So I will tell you guys who, because I just did this question last week. I'll give you the same lineup I said. Singing was Brian Schaefer, who is in Cage, the original Cage singer. And he sings in the Free Peanuts band currently. Bass would have been Chris Riggy, also from Cage. And then I had Matt Ferrani on drums. And playing guitar was Paul Peterson from Big House Pete.
I was thinking Mikey.
Very solid.
I was thinking
there,
Mikey Pallone somewhere in our mix.
Oh, yeah, Mikey Pallone. Yeah, Mikey. Yeah, exactly, exactly. That's right. Like, we didn't mention any guitar players, but yeah, Mikey Pallone, definitely. That's my vote, Mike Pallone.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Kid Rips.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you guys all want to go with that choice, or do you want to do your own?
That's you can't go wrong with any of them. Man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If I could play with any of them, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, yeah. Hell, I take Mike Filota's guitar player for Dragline. I just sing.
See, that would fix your problem. Okay, the ad is gone.
No, I love playing guitar. So, you know, Mike, sorry. But,
maybe we could get Abe to sing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll take Abe from Filthy Lowdown to sing for us. Yeah.
Yeah, he's. If Should you've I never seen them? That you did band, just say that check them out. Mike, they are awesome. Dimwit.
They'll be at Sidebar with us.
Yeah, they're going to be at Sidebar with on the 23rd.
Of March.
It's us. Yeah, you know, sorry for the shameless plug, but here it's us. Red Sun, which these cats are really good, man. They're a three piece, another power trio. Folk You, which we don't know too much about them, but
I think looking forward to playing with
them. Yeah, they're
Greeny and
you know them though. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I think Kate is in there too. I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I think she plays the bass.
All right. So we know them.
We know them as a different bands. So.
Different
all
bands.
Right, cool.
Okay. Well, and then the Filthy Lowdown from Pittsburgh, which we play with these guys in Altoona, and they're really great. They're fun.
Yeah. The show.
Abe is a great front man. I mean, he puts on a hell of a show. So, you know, get your asses out the Sidebar to see some good rock and punk. And we're gonna shake it up and burn it down that night.
Sidebar's a great place. They really support a lot of local original music around here. So definitely, any given weekend, you're gonna see some good bands up there.
Thanks, Jen, for giving us the show.
That's a whole nother story.
You guys can tell that story if you want.
Even though we booked a show before we asked you.
But we don't remember booking
the show. Yeah, we don't remember
show.
Booking the show. We booked it at Altoona, sorry.
We had bands lined up ready to go.
Exactly, right. We had the Filthy Lowdown, they were in. Yeah, they were like, we want to play the Sidebar. We're good. We know the owners.
We're speculating on how that went because we still don't remember what.
Yeah, we don't.
We got a text from the Filthy Lowdown.
Did you guys stay in Altoona or did you?
Oh, yes, we did. Yeah, okay. We always stay in Altoona. Yes.
Yeah, so we got a text from the Filthy Lowdown a couple of days after that show, asking us about the gig at Sidebar on the 23rd, and none of us knew what they were talking about.
And I didn't want to look like I didn't know what I was talking about. I was like, "Oh yeah, we need to check into that." And I was like, "Did one of you guys talk about that show? I don't remember that."
I think the three of us were all talking about it, but we were so damn drunk. We were like, "Oh yeah, that's up in our hood. We got this. We'll take care of it."
So I contacted Jen and kind of open-ended questioned it by saying, "Do you have anything scheduled at Sidebar on March 23rd?" And the response was no. So I said, "Good, because
we want the show.
Can we play it? Because we've already promised people we're playing there.
We got bands booked already."
Yeah. I was kind of thinking she was going to respond, going, "Yeah, so and so's playing," and thinking, "Okay, maybe it was the Filthy Lowdown that had the show," or I had no idea.
I think probably what happened was we were like, "Hey, yeah, there's this great place out near us," and the Filthy Lowdown, they heard of it and they wanted to play there, and it's like, "All right, well, what date works for you? Let's check into it." And then we wake up the next morning and
have you heard anything about the show at Sidebar on March 23rd?
I think we woke up, we didn't even remember talking about that show. We woke up the next morning. So we got it when we left that, we closed the bar in out McGarvey's, which is a great place.
Have we been out there two or three
two
times?
Two. We closed it. I mean, we were like the last band to leave. I mean, loading our stuff out after 2 o'clock in the morning, back to the hotel, and then we're still in the hotel till 4 o'clock in the morning, drinking and listen. I remember listening to Glenn Campbell and Waylon Jennings.
Oh yeah,
drinking
night.
Champagne.
Drinking the champagne. The only thing we had left to drink and eating Hot Pockets.
That's Blue Ribbon powered.
It was leftover champagne from New Year's.
Yeah.
It was a January show, so
we stumble in and hit the kiosk, thinking that everything's free. So we're just loading up all this stuff in our, and all of a sudden this guy just comes out. "Hey, you got to pay for that stuff." Like, oh man, so we had like a half a dozen Hot Pockets and combos, and
bought a Hot Pocket for $8.
Hot pockets and champagne. Dragline lives the high life, let me tell you.
See, I think this next question can be interesting. So any embarrassing moments? So now you're going to clam up. You're telling me stories about Hot Pockets and champagne.
Well, no, honestly, I got to say, I don't think with Dragline I've ever been totally embarrassed on stage about anything.
He's just embarrassed to be with Jay and I.
Stand off in the dark.
On stage? No, not during any shows. We usually hold it together fairly well.
Yeah, yeah.
Our last practice wasn't so good.
No. Last Friday's practice that was one got kind away of from bad. Us.
I'm going to stick around and live. Do a live.
Yeah, well, yeah. You might see last Friday's practice.
Sometimes they get away from us, and we usually just give up and keep drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Embarrassing moment. I mean, back in the day, I can't think of anything embarrassing.
Nothing.
There was a one Plowboy show way back in the day. Was it Gooskies? Or the Rock Room?
It wasn't the Rock Room. It was the Warsaw.
The Warsaw.
It was called the Warsaw.
Yeah, we had a gig. Back, this is the Plowboys days. We had a gig at the Warsaw.
In Polish Hill.
And our drummer was just on a different page than the rest of the band. I mean, he just could not keep time. That was the most embarrassing show we've ever had. It was bad.
It happens.
I mean, but Dragline, other than last Friday's practice, was only the three of us.
Isn't that a country song? Last Friday night.
We're gonna write a song.
It is, though. Look it up.
My wife woke up on Saturday morning and the tortilla chips were in the refrigerator. I don't know how they got there.
if you were with the three of us last Friday night, you would know why they got to in the refrigerator.
We're playing with a band this Saturday called the Jasons.
Yeah.
And they are all
in
hockey masks. Yeah. They're all wearing hockey masks.
Right. Including Jason from Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
I can't wait to see them. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of Bethlehem?
I've heard of Bethlehem. Yes.
Metal Edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their drummer plays in a full metal helmet. It's impressive.
Wow. Yeah, be comfortable under the hot lights.
Yeah. I got out of character.
Yeah, I've heard your stuff on the Metal Edge. I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'll play them tonight too. As long as I remember. Awesome. I forgot to get the keys out of my car. Let's see. What haven't I hit? You guys talked about your shows. Oh, you're recording. I heard you talking about that earlier. They're like, we don't want to talk about that.
the recording that's coming up that we're going to do, I think, next weekend with Angelo. Yeah, we're going to record the one song that J-Boy had mentioned, Gonna Lose. Jay wrote most of the lyrics for that song, and the lyrics are just, they're awesome lyrics.
It has stood the test of time.
It has, and it's great. And he handed me the lyrics, we didn't have Mike at the time. It was me, you, and PJ, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we didn't have Mike. So
I wrote it when we were with the Plowboys.
Right, you wrote with the Plowboys.
Never
made it to a Plowboy song, and we decided with the Dragline came up with the riff, and then it just morphed, and it just worked. I will tell you this, that it is a very tough song to sing and play at the same time. It does challenge me all the time. So I can't wait to record it, because it's going to be easier. Once we record all the backing tracks, I can just go in there and just sing with not having to worry about playing guitar. So I think that song's going to really, it's going to be like, it'll be the diamond of the Dragline recorded songs we have so far. I think it's going to be better than Rock and Roll Machine, personally. I said it before, I'll say it again. Not two better guys to play with. I mean, we know each other well. We feed off each other, and that's what makes it easy. And I think that's why this band works as well as it does. I mean, you know, we're no schooled musicians, that's for sure. You know, three guys that just like to play rock and roll.
Do you mind if I stick around for a little bit and watch?
Hell no. We can get another beer and we'll fire up the music. It may sound like Friday night.
We have some earplugs for you.
We got earplugs.
Well, these are noise canceling. I'm just.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Okay, so this has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 409.
Wow.
Yeah, that's usually the reaction. And I took a hiatus. We'll talk about it off the air.
Like Dragline.
So make sure you check us out next week. PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, and BuildTheScene.com.